Thick stands of young trees surround Election Creek near Klawak on southeast Alaska's Prince of Wales Island. The forest was logged in 1989, and it's been left to grow back on its own. Now, more than 20 years later, Sea Alaska is getting ready to thin the crowded stands of trees that have returned. Ever since 1971, when Sea Alaska selected land through the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act, the Juneau-based corporation has logged. Most of that logging has taken place on Prince of Wales. What might be less known is how the corporation manages its property following a clear cut, in hopes of restoring tree stands quicker for future logging. That makes the forest more profitable over the long term and creates what Sea Alaska officials say is improved habitat for deer.
And I'm not going to try to tell you guys that following timber harvest it looks pretty. It doesn't. It looks rough.
That's Ron Wolf, Sea Alaska's natural resource manager. He says the corporation's logging operation includes taking care of the land after it's been harvested. A clear cut is not the end.
That is the beginning of a next forest. And that happens within the first year. We have this a burst of understory vegetation that's important for deer.
Wolf says the deer habitat grows along with the new trees. After about 15 years, though, the trees start crowding out other vegetation. That's when Sea Alaska sends out crews for pre-commercial thinning. They remove some of the young trees, favoring the most valuable ones, in order cedar, spruce, and hemlock. That practice is good for business, but Wolf says it also extends the time frame for deer browse to grow. Another silviculture practice is basal pruning. Crews remove emerging limbs to create larger pieces of knot-free wood. Wolf says that allows more light to filter to the forest floor, improving deer habitat. Sea Alaska saves the expensive pruning work for where it will do the most good.
And I've come up with some criteria that the first thing is I want it to be below 500 feet in elevation. And that's because a good part of the reason why I'm pruning is for deer. Well, winter habitat for deer tends to be below 500 foot in elevation.
So why all this concern over deer habitat? Sea Alaska has approximately 21,000 native shareholders, about half living in southeast. Many hunt for recreation and for subsistence. Wolf said it's also concerned about the general health of the forest, which includes habitat for the animals that live there. He says Prince of Wales Island has a healthy deer population, and he believes logging is the reason why. Bob Kloss, a POW resident and forest program manager for the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, has a different point of view. He agrees that the understory vegetation following a clear cut provides great browse in the summer. The problem is winter.
Winter habitat for deer, meaning the big trees where they can move around without snow, is gone. And the habitat is lost until some trees die and other ones grow back, and you start to get characteristics of old-growth forest again that's good for deer both in summer and winter.
Also of great concern to Alaska residents is salmon, and Sea Alaska keeps an eye on salmon streams that might be affected by its logging activity. Seattle-based fisheries scientist Doug Martin is a contractor working for Sea Alaska since the 1990s to help monitor fish habitat. On a recent visit to Election Creek, Martin pointed out that the 66-foot buffer is the minimum required by Alaska's 1990 Forest Practices Act.
It was pretty much driven by a study done by Mike Murphy and Kate Koski, the both Juneau residents, fisheries biologists, and they went and studied streams like this one we're standing on right here, and they looked to see where large woody debris comes from. And the reason why they wanted to know that is because as the trees fall down and fall into the stream, they create habitat. They create cover for fish. So if you didn't have that wood in the stream, it would be less complex and not as good a habitat.
That study showed 95% of the wood that falls into a salmon stream, creating that important habitat, comes from 66 feet on either side of a stream. To reach 100%, the buffer would have to be 100 feet.
This is where the politics and policy comes in. The science says this is what the curve looks like. Now you guys go in the back room and talk about it. And that's where they came out and they said, well, you know, if we do 66, we're protecting essentially 95% of the source areas. There was a negotiation and they said, okay, we're going to do adaptive management. We're going to monitor and see, does this really work or not?
And it appears to have worked. Martin says there have been no negative impacts to fish habitat, and in some cases, habitat was improved because more trees in the buffer zone end up falling into streams. Martin notes that a healthy and diverse ecosystem benefits the whole forest.
The emphasis on the deer is really important, but it's really obvious by creating all this understory vegetation, you're just simply increasing biodiversity for everything. Bugs, bugs and voles, and biodiversity is becoming a huge issue. So it's really important.
Klaus sees a problem. Improving habitat is great, but there's no measurement of how many fish or deer were there before logging.
I don't think we ever will know. I think, you know, bigger buffers are better. You know, leaving streams undisturbed is the best way to go.
Klaus knows Sea Alaska will continue to log its land. He says the corporation appears to be managing its forests well.
I think that the historical logging of private land in Southeast Alaska was a crime. But it's historic. It's done. And the activity that they are doing now appears to be scientifically informed. It appears to be as good of forest management as we can expect.
Sea Alaska owns about 290,000 acres. About 40% of that is designated for selective harvest, and about a quarter is not forested. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.